Morning. It's always nice to be able to stand before you. I enjoy being able to come and worship with you. This morning there are things in which, not only this morning, but in the last few days, there's been something on my mind that I have been made aware of that is distressing not only to myself, but I know it's distressing to others. With any kind of a problem within our lives, first of all, we have to recognize that it is a problem. It's something that's affecting us. So the first thing in which we have to come to an understand is that we have a problem. We in this mortal life are living in the days of our probation. It's a time given to us, a span of time given to us to prepare to meet our Lord and to stand before Him. I will be touching upon the days in which we live in, something which we talked about a little bit this morning. In Luke, in that 21st chapter, as I made reference to in our Sunday school, is part of the text in which I would like to bring your attention to. Because it talks about the days in which we live in, and those days should be very important to us to understand and to be able to deal with problems within our lives. I want to start with that 25th verse of the 21st chapter. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, many hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now I want to back up to that 25th verse. I know I've read this verse many times, and I think I saw something new this morning when I reread it and in my studies prior to coming before you. It says, "And upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity." I remember our brother, an apostle, Marvin Ely, he has preached many sermons on this very subject. What makes up a nation? A nation is made up of people. And if that nation is distressed, that means the people are distressed. And if it's distressed with perplexity, that means that the people are perplexed and distressed. Okay, so what do you mean by that? Part of the definition of perplexed or perplexity is uncertainty of the day in which we live in, the conditions around us. Doubtful is another portion of that definition, doubting. We can apply these things spiritually as well as in our mortal body, living from day to day on the surroundings about us. Hesitance, confusion, being puzzled, and something that we're hard to understand. Things are hard for us to comprehend, to understand. And so these are the days in which we live in. We find that it's very perplexing when we look about us and all the religious factions. We can imagine that men are perplexed as to what is truth and what isn't truth. We can look to our leaders and we find that through the media of television and radio that we find the pros and the cons, and sometimes we get them all confused because there's just so much information we have to assimilate. And so we're perplexed. We're confused. We're puzzled. It's hard for us to understand. And so Christ is telling us what we are to expect in these days in which we live in. Perplexity, distress of nations. Dropping down to the 34th verse, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Again, I want to back up to the 31st verse. It says, overcharged with surfeiting, overeating or to an excess of anything. I can apply that not only to eating and drinking, but to anything. When you go to an excess, that would be a state of surfeiting. And the thing I want to concentrate on is the cares of this life. It says, take heed to yourselves. And the cares of this life. I know in my life that if I'm not careful and if I am not watching, as Christ says, watch ye therefore and pray always, that I allow the cares of this life to overcome me, to put me into a depressed state, to put me into that position of perplexity and that distressness. When I allow the cares of this life to do that, Satan has power over me. That's one of his tools. So now, as I began, I said I would identify a problem. And a problem in my life, and I know it is with your lives, is sometimes we allow the cares of this life to overcome us and to cause this confusion and this doubt, this uncertainty to creep in within our lives. Let's try and understand, let's get to a better understanding of this problem. Since we have identified it, let's understand it a little bit and see what the scriptures have for us to help us to deal with these problems in our lives, these cares, these things that have a tendency to overcome us. In the book of Mark, we have a parable in which Christ spoke. In all things, the Lord, like in the Book of Mormon, the Lord give us wisdom through those scriptures. He says, cling to the rod of iron, which is the Word of God. And that is one of our tools in which we can use in our lives, and we should always use to help us to find these different keys. But in Mark, in the 4th chapter, we find the parable of the sower. There's only a portion of this parable I want to read, and it deals with those who get caught up with the cares of this world and what it does to them. And in the 18th verse, it says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. I classify us as all that have heard the word of Christ, the gospel. And so as we have heard it and have studied it, it says, and those who have, and that word which was sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. It's not that it didn't start to bear fruit, that word, that understanding that was sown among the thorns. It did. It started to bring forth fruit. But the cares of the world was one of those tools that choked it, where it didn't come forth completely, and it was unfruitful. And in Luke, in the eighth chapter, is a little bit better understanding of that. Luke 8:14. And says, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. There's a little bit better understanding of what he was talking about. No fruit to perfection. So what am I trying to say? I feel in this parable of the sowers that through the avenue of faith, even though we may be classified as our soil being classified as thorny, that it is not impossible for God to remove those thorns and to make a better soil for that seed to grow. I don't doubt that at all. So when you apply the sower, it is not wrong to look at it as things in which we can, in our lives, work on and allow the Lord to make that soil fertile. So don't think it's impossible when you say, well, if you accidentally see yourself as being that thorny soil, that, well, I'm doomed. That was not the intent of the Lord. It was just to point out to you the problem, or a problem. And for you, if you continue to avail yourself, to be able to correct that problem. I don't like pessimism. I like optimism. And I know the Lord likes that in his people, optimism, to be an optimist. And that, I think, has to deal with having faith in God that he can help you in those things. In the Book of Mormon, on page 710, that's Mormon, the fourth chapter, starting with the 71st verse. Behold, he created Adam, and by Adam came the fall of man. And because of the fall of man came Jesus Christ, even the Father and the Son. And because of Jesus Christ came the redemption of man. And because of the redemption of man, which cometh by Jesus Christ, they are brought back into the presence of the Lord. Yea, this is wherein all men are redeemed. Because the death of Christ bringeth to pass the resurrection, which bringeth to pass a redemption from an endless sleep, from which sleep all men shall be awakened by the power of God when the trump shall sound. And they shall come forth, both small and great, and all shall stand before this bar, being redeemed and loosed from this eternal band of death, which death is a temporal death, and then cometh the judgment of the Holy One upon them, and then cometh the time that he that is filthy shall be filthy still, and he that is righteous shall be righteous still, and he that is happy shall be happy still. And this is the important part in which I want to bring out. And he that is unhappy shall be unhappy still. If you're caught up in the cares of this world, are you happy? Does it make you happy? I know for me it doesn't. I'm distressed. I'm not happy. I think that's important. Because we know and we believe that there will be a redemption, and that's through the blood of Christ and through the power of Christ, and that we would be resurrected according to the state in which we're in that either in our righteousness or our unrighteousness, in our happiness or in our unhappiness. Okay, now let's take a little time right now to find out what Christ expects of us. Maybe this will help us to deal with that problem in which we've already identified. In John, in the 15th chapter, Christ is speaking there. I think this is a very important scripture. It has a lot of meat to it. And if we could understand this a little bit, I feel that this would help us in our life today. Christ is speaking, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. That's the 15th chapter of John. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Let's back up again. He expects us to bring forth fruit. Because in that second verse it says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. He discards it. It is of no use, no value. Then he says, every branch that beareth fruit, this is important, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So he expects us to bear fruit. Now what is this fruit is he talking about? What is he talking about by bringing forth fruit? I think as we go to the scriptures, we'll be able to get that answer. On page 317 of your Book of Mormon, Alma is speaking here. It's Alma, the third chapter, starting with the 59th verse. Yea, come unto me, and bring forth works of righteousness, and ye shall not be hewn down and cast into the fire. For behold, the time is at hand, that whosoever bringeth forth not good fruit, or whosoever doeth not the works of righteousness, the same have cause to wail and mourn. We can really put that right over here and place it right into that second verse, that 15th chapter, can't we? Works of righteousness is that fruit which Christ was speaking of. And he, Alma, speaks the same thing in which Christ spoke, which would mean that Alma must have got his information from Christ. So that fruit in which he expects us to bear is righteousness. Now let's look into that a little bit more. I think maybe we can break that down a little bit more as to those things in which the Lord expects of us that can help us in dealing with our problems within this life, the cares of this life. On page 748 of your Book of Mormon, it's in the Book of Ether in the 5th chapter. The Lord was speaking to Moroni, but also he is making reference to the Gentiles. And so I immediately, when I look at that, I apply it to myself. And take notice down here on that 29th verse. Well, actually, if you want me to, I'll read the whole thing because it's good. Starting with the 27th. And when I had said this, the Lord spake unto me, saying, fools mock, but they shall mourn, and my grace is sufficient for the meek, that they shall take no advantage of your weakness. And if men come unto me, I will show unto them their weaknesses. I give unto men weakness, that they may be humble, and my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me, and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. Behold, I will show unto the Gentiles their weakness, and I will show unto them that faith and hope and charity bringeth unto me the fountain of all righteousness. There's a little bit further breakdown of what Christ was talking about. He says, bring forth fruit. Okay, that fruit we've defined as righteousness. Okay, now we can break it down a little bit further. Well, what is righteousness? And he says, faith, hope, and charity is righteousness. Broken all the way down. Now let us see if we can't come to a better understanding of those three items that the Lord expects of us, to have these qualities or these things within us that would help us in our life in these days. Remember, it says the fountain of all righteousness, that which brings forth. page 776, that's Moroni in their 10th chapter, starting with the 15th verse. First of all, we would come to the understanding, it says, wherefore there must be faith. And if there must be faith, there must be also hope. They too go together. And if there must be hope, there must be also be charity. And except ye have charity, ye can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. Neither can ye be saved in the kingdom of God if you have not faith, neither can ye if ye have no hope. And if ye have no hope, ye must needs be in despair. And despair cometh because of iniquity. Okay, this is a little more of an understanding of that we need these three things in our lives. In on page 768, we get a little definition or the breakdown of some of these items. One happened to be charity. Let's look at charity on page 768, starting with the 50th verse. And if a man be meek and lowly in heart, and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must needs have charity. Now this is a very familiar scripture, I know. But let's look at it. And charity suffereth long. All right, with the cares of this world, as they bombard us or whatever, we must remember that we must have patience. Patience in dealing with these different things and being able to keep that peace within us. It says, and is kind, not reacting. Sometimes when we get involved with the cares of this world, when we're all involved with this, someone approaches us with something, instead of reacting, we just react in a very negative way, very quickly. You know, because we're all tied up and we don't want to be bothered with it, and we react differently. But let's remember, one of the attributes of charity is kind and suffering long. So we have to try to remember this as we apply charity within our lives so that we can bring forth righteousness. Envieth not and is not puffed up. Sometimes in our human attitudes, we are puffed up sometimes. Sometimes we think we know more than we really do, and so we take on that attribute of knowing more and whatever, and it would cause us to be more puffed up only because of our physical weaknesses. So we must suppress those things if we have this problem within our lives. Seeking not her own. You know, this is a hard one. Well, at least it is for me sometimes. So I have to be aware of. And so those who recognize this as a problem in your life, seeking not her own, is not easily provoked. Again, that's that reaction that I was talking about. Instead of reacting kindly, we would react unkindly. Thinking no evil and rejoicing not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Beareth all things. Sometimes I get to the point where I don't want to bear anymore. I don't want it anymore, you know? But we have to remember where we stand with God and Christ, where we stand, where to be a light under this earth, under this world, right here. We've got to be a light. And so that is, we have made that choice that we're going to have to then bear all things in Christ's name. So that's part of that love or that charity in which Christ is expecting us to have, or these qualities. Believeth all things in which Christ has spoken, the commandments and the things he has caused to be written, hopeth all things, to have a hope of that redemption, of that better quality of life which lies before those who has these qualities, who has accepted Christ and who has followed his commandments and who has a desire to be with him. Endureth all things to the end of our probationary state, the day we give up our life, lay down our life, and that our soul is taken on up into that state of rest, to be able to endure through that complete probationary state of all the things that come upon us. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. So that's something we've got to have. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all these things must fail, but charity, now here's the definition, charity is the pure love of Christ. Now how do we get this pure love of Christ? It's something alien within us, mortal beings, it is. It's something which we don't have. And we'll find out a little later on how we can help ourselves to obtain this or to get this within our lives. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, skip down here to the... charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever, and whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Now here's the key to how we can obtain that charity. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of your heart. That's not occasionally, that's not, well, whenever I think about it, it's with all the energy of your heart. That's why I say it's something that it is not natural or normal within us. We have to do something about it, to have that within us, that charity or that pure love of Christ. That ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ. The promise, he will give it to you. That ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Remember in Hebrews, in the 11th chapter, he says, without faith it is impossible to please God. That verifies what I read in the Book of Mormon. It says, without faith, you don't have any hope. And without hope, you don't have any faith. And without those two, you're kind of lost. So that's necessary. Now let's see how we can... I've started to identify some of the solutions to the problem. Let's go a little bit further. See what we can expect and maybe work with that. On page 712 of your Book of Mormon, it's in the Book of Mormon, on the fourth chapter of the Book of Mormon, starting with the 92nd verse. It says, O then, despise not and wonder not, but hearken unto the words of the Lord, and ask the Father in the name of Jesus for what things soever ye shall stand in need. So if there's something within that list of things in which we were covering concerning charity or faith or hope, if some of those things are lacking in your life, this is what we can do about it. This is one of the things we can do to help us. Now we have the privilege to ask the Father in the name of Jesus for those things that we stand in need of. And sometimes we always think of maybe some physical things in which we need, but there's some things mentally and spiritually that we might need also. I know that's happened in my life. But before we can receive it, it says, doubt not, but believe. And beginning as in times of old, and come unto the Lord with all your heart, and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before him. I can't do it for you. I can help you, but I can't do it for you. So when he says, work out your own salvation, you have to apply yourself You have to look within inside you. The only one that knows what lies within your heart is God Almighty and yourself. I can't discern that for you. I might be able to see some of the things outwardly, but not the full picture. So who else can you go to? The only one you can go to is to your Father in heaven. Be wise in the days of your probation. Again, that refers to be aware, be alert. Look into your lives. Strip yourself of all uncleanness. Ask not that ye may consume it on your lust, but ask with a firmness, unshaken, that ye will yield to no temptation, but that ye will serve the true and living God. Go to page 748 in your Book of Mormon, those who are following along. It's in the Book of Ether. Now let's back up to page 746. Starting with the fourth verse, I'll read through 10. As this is very important, and it's something we need to be aware of. Wherefore, whoso believeth in God might with a surety hope for a better world. We profess that we believe in Christ, we believe in the Father, we believe that there will be a redemption, and we believe that there's a better world to come. Yea, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith. Faith is not a complete knowledge. And that's why it can be classified with hope. We have that hope because we believe, which is faith. Maketh an anchor to the souls of men. That should be our anchor. So faith and hope should be that tool or that strength that would help us to cling to Christ, which would make them sure and steadfast. As we develop those two attributes, that anchor would be a lot stronger for us in our lives. And it came to pass that Ether did prophesy great and marvelous things unto the people, which they did not believe, because they saw them not. And now I, Moroni, would speak somewhat concerning these things. I would shew unto the world that faith is things which are hoped for and not seen, something which Paul talked about and elaborated on. Wherefore dispute not, because ye see not, for you receive no witness until after the trial of your faith. Okay, maybe some of those cares and those things that overcome you in your lives, maybe that's part of that trial of your faith. Why is it placed there? To make you, what, come to the Lord? Make you make a decision as to what you're going to do? If you're able to overcome one of those cares, does it make you stronger in your faith if you have gone that avenue? For it is by faith that Christ showed himself unto our fathers after he had risen from the dead. And he showed not himself unto them until after they had faith in him. Wherefore it must needs be that some had faith in him, for he showed himself unto the world. And because of faith of men, he has shown himself unto the world and glorified the name of the Father, and prepared a way that thereby others might be partakers of the heavenly gift, that they might hope for those things which they have not seen. All we have is the records. So if we go into the records and read those records and believe in those things which were given to us, that should be a strength unto us. Wherefore ye may also have hope and be partakers of the gift, if ye will but have faith. So it is our lot that we have these records for this time being. We haven't maybe seen Christ raised from the dead, or Lazarus, or when Moses parted the Red Sea. We didn't see those things, but it's recorded. And so maybe it might be a trial in our life of our faith. Do we believe him? Do we believe they took place? It says you won't receive any witness until you believe those things which was recorded. One of the things that we can apply in our lives to help us maybe avoid some of those things that get us down, and that's in the second book of Timothy, in the second chapter, in the fourth verse. He says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." That's one of the things in which if we look at and we try to avoid those things in our life that would get us tangled up, cause us to fall, if we can avoid those things, it would help us. And that's one of the things we should avoid. We are a soldier in Christ. I already covered a little bit about the trial of our faith. I read that in the Book of Mormon. There is also a similar statement which your brother made in Peter, in the first chapter. He tells us the same thing. 1 Peter. Excuse me. In James, let's back up. 1 James 2 and 3. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations," or diverse, various, different kinds of temptations, part of those cares of the world. "Count it all joy." Look at it as the trial of your faith. "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience," which is one of those attributes of what? Remember? Charity. That was one of those attributes that was listed in there. So what does that do? It brings forth righteousness. So one of the solutions in which the Lord helps us with, he gives us, we are in situations of trials, which if we react accordingly, it would bring forth fruit, which would be pleasing, not only to ourselves, but the Lord. In the 6th verse, no, the 12th. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptations." There's another one of those attributes in charity. "For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Similar to when the Lord went out into the wilderness, and when he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. He was tried and tempted, and he was able to endure, and he was made stronger for it. So it will be with us. Now I'll jump on over to Peter in the fifth chapter of Peter. 8-11. "Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." So a lot of those cares and those things that get us down are coming, where are they coming from? They're coming from Satan. And so if we fall into that category and we then react accordingly as Satan would have us to, then what fruit are we bringing forth? It's not the fruit of righteousness. "Whom resist steadfast in the faith." So we are to try to resist, and one of the ways to resist is in faith, "knowing that the same afflictions," this is something which really astounded me because I've never fully understood, "knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. What does that mean? That means when I see someone who does not profess to be a Christian, has the same afflictions as I have, or that I can have, as Norman can have, as Betty or anybody else in this room can have. It says, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So sometimes, you know, we have a tendency, we see maybe ourselves react or someone else react in a negative way or whatever, and we go, oh, he's a Christian, oh, he's a hypocrite, blah, 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 blah. You know, you hear that a lot. But Peter is saying, hey, that's a fact. Knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, you're going to have those things. Why? Because they're human. They're made of flesh. But there's something different. The Christian is striving to overcome those things and to put them out of his life. And he's got his whole life to do it in. That's his probationary state, and he's working on it. That's the difference. But don't think it odd and don't judge, because you see those afflictions within him and the same as those in the world and say, oh, well, bunch of hypocrites. I'm not trying to give somebody a crutch for that, or myself a crutch, because you might see something in me that is of the world. I'm just saying, I'm trying to identify, yes, those things will be within your lives, but we are working to overcome those things. And through the blood of Christ, we can overcome those things. On page 767, let's look at that one for a minute here. I already covered that. Let's jump down to Mark, in the 13th chapter of Mark. This would be my closing scripture. No, maybe the second to the last one. In that 13th chapter, starting with the 34th verse, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, each one of us has a work, and commanded the porter to watch. Let's find out who the porter is. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto you all, watch. We're all the porter. And we should be watching, waiting for the master to return. And in that watching, we're applying those things in which he has taught us to help us in our probationary state. One more tool in which I want to give to you, which was given to me. I have it on my wall in my work area. It's Psalms in the 46th chapter in the 10th verse. It says, be still. Know that I am. Know that he is God. And so when those cares or those things are distressing you, think about that little scripture. Be still. And know that I am. And he's in control. Thank you.
This evening at 6:30, there'll be a song service. At 7 o'clock, Brother Andy Brown will be the speaker. Tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, there'll be a ladies' devotional meeting. Wednesday at 7, a song service. Next Sunday, 10 o'clock, Sunday school at 11 o'clock, Jay Moser will be the speaker. At 2 o'clock, next Sunday afternoon, there will be a Camp for All Ages meeting, and I'd urge each to attend that. At 6:30, be a song service, and 7 o'clock, Brother Joel Yates will be the speaker. Remind you to vote on the referendum and to sign up for the Missouri reunion. 128. Understand?
Jesus is calling. calling on you here today. Calling for you, calling for you. Will ye not quickly the summons obey? Jesus is calling for you. Calling for you.
Spent together, we're thankful for this message, and we pray, Father, that indeed